Hi, I'm Keith Payne, author of Good Reasonable People, The Psychology Behind America's Dangerous Divide. It goes without saying that political division is one of our biggest problems in the United States right now. It stops us from compromising to get things done. It separates us from friends and family members in painful ways, and it makes many of us worried about the future of our country. My goal in writing this book was to help us get past the unending cycle of arguments about the issues and outrages of the day. I want to understand the psychology that explains why some people are so strongly drawn to one side or the other, why it seems almost impossible to convince the other side they are wrong, and why the other side thinks the same about us. Understanding the psychology won't make our differences disappear, but it can help us recognize that we are all just people doing the best we can to make sense of the world from the only vantage point we have, our own. So here are 5 insights from the book that help us make sense of each other. Insight number 1. Most people don't have a political ideology. They may call themselves liberal or conservative, but most people struggle to define what that means. Scholars define an ideology as a coherent, interconnected set of beliefs. But when they look at how people respond in surveys, their answers are all over the place. Someone who takes a conservative position on taxes, for example, might take a liberal position on government spending. On issue after issue, there's not much correlation between opinions on logically related topics. And people are incredibly inconsistent over time. They flip-flop on issues from one survey to the next. Political scientists suggest that only about 15% of Americans have a coherent ideology. They are usually journalists, academics, and news junkies. The other 85% might feel passionately about politics, but their passion is not about issues or policies. It's about social group identities. Insight number 2. Everyone starts from the premise that they are good, reasonable people, and the groups they belong to are too. And they interpret every piece of information in ways that preserve that conviction. If you present a partisan with evidence that what they believe is bad or wrong, they have dozens of ways to avoid changing their minds. They can decide the source of the information is unreliable or biased. They can decide you are untrustworthy or that you've been brainwashed. They can move the goalposts, change the subject, engage in whataboutism, and so on. It's frustrating when other people do that, but it's hard to see that we all do it ourselves. The psychological bottom line is that I'm a good, reasonable person, and my groups are too. Everything else has to add up to that. Insight number 3. Our political allegiances are mostly a matter of chance events that have nothing to do with us. Sure, we feel that we have reasoned our way to our views, but the reasoning we find convincing is almost entirely predictable, based on factors in place before you were born. Philosophers call it moral luck. Jack Yuffie and his identical twin brother Oscar were separated at birth in 1933. Jack was raised in a Jewish American family. Oscar was raised in a Christian family in Germany as the Nazis came to power and joined the Hitler Youth. Predictably, they adopted the values of the groups they were assigned to. Many years later, they found each other and worked on reuniting. But they were never fully able to overcome the vast differences in the ways they saw the world. In the U.S. today, we can predict with great accuracy which political party people identify with if we know just a few facts about the conditions in which they were born. About 90% of Black Americans support Democrats. Around 60% of white Americans support Republicans. But that percentage is much higher if they were born in a county that was economically dependent on slavery in 1860. and we can predict which counties depended on slavery by the way the prehistoric ocean in the Cretaceous period covered some parts of the southern U.S., but not others, in chalky soil that made it fertile ground for cotton. Like a great line of dominoes set in motion millions of years ago, the time, place, and racial groups we are born to set us on different paths, and we have to make sense of the world from where we stand. Insight number four. We don't vote because of what we believe. We believe because of how we vote. Many people believe that we are in the midst of a misinformation crisis, a new post-truth world. And it's true that misinformation and conspiracy theories are running rampant. But what we fail to realize is that people have always believed a lot of weird stuff. When researchers looked at survey responses going back to the 1970s, they found that the proportion of the population that believes in conspiracy theories has remained roughly constant since then. In 1981, 48% of Americans believed the assassination of Robert Kennedy was a conspiracy rather than the act of a lone gunman. In 2021, 43% believed that. In 2021, half of Americans believed that humans had made contact with aliens, but the government was covering it up. Almost exactly the same proportion as in 1996. In the 1980s, popular conspiracy theories involved the Reagan administration. In the 90s, there were popular conspiracy theories about O.J. Simpson. Those have fallen out of fashion today, replaced by QAnon and false stories about immigrants eating people's pets. Tomorrow, it will be something different. But there is a simple recipe to make people believe such stories. Take the political group you want to vilify, Democrats, Republicans, or whatever. Say that they are in league with powerful forces, banks, pharmaceutical companies, and so on, to nefariously help themselves and harm the weak and vulnerable. When researchers made up new conspiracies using that recipe, large proportions of Americans believed them as long as the other party were the villains. We worry that if people are fooled by conspiracy theories, they will vote for the wrong candidate. But that worry gets it backward. People endorse whatever stories they can use to justify how they want to vote in the first place. Insight number five. Everyone is winging it. When we argue with each other over politics, we focus on issues or the recent outrages that we've heard about. But those are all just the smoke, not the fire. The truth is, we would sound pretty silly if we said truthfully that I believe my party is right and your party is wrong because I want to be a good member of the racial and other social groups that I feel closest to. So we embrace one side and reject the other, always justifying our positions based on some piece of evidence that is not really the true cause of our allegiance. We pick up those justifications or lay them down as is useful for defending our sense that we are good, reasonable people. In other words, we're all just winging it, making it up as we go along. If you want to get past these endless circles of unproductive debate, the next time you're tempted to get into a political argument, ask yourself, why do I believe what I believe? And why does my opponent believe what they believe? But don't answer with facts and evidence. You can both find plenty more where those came from. Answer how their position reassures them that they are a good, reasonable member of their groups, and how yours does the same for you. You won't start to agree with one another, but you might come to see yourselves not as mortal enemies, but as two people doing their best to make sense of the messy, complicated world the best they can. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book.